Auckland's Radio.
Well, I'm Dave Demetis, and I'm in the studio here with Kerry Fisher. Hello, Kerry.
Hello there.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, you have your latest book out called About a Lie. But first of all, tell us what got you into writing, please.
Well, that's an interesting one. I had, I think my father would certainly have called it a checkered career before I finally settled on what I wanted to do. And I trained as a journalist. But I found it excruciating because I was working on a national magazine and I did a lot of real life interviews, and I was absolutely hopeless because I would end up saying to people, oh, don't say that because that will really upset your mother when she sees it in print, you know. So so all the great juicy bits of my story I used to take out because I didn't want people to be upset, which is not really the making of a great journalist.
No.
So then I got a job reviewing books for another magazine, which I really loved. And like lots of people who read books, I started to think, oh, this looks easy. I could knock out one of these, you know, maybe I'll start writing. I was ridiculously naive about how difficult it would be, A, to write a book, and B, to get said book published. But I have to say, I loved working in a fictional world where it's probably the only area of my life where people do what I want them to. That's how I started, really. And I did some courses online with the University of California and just found that it was my big passion. I absolutely loved it.
So that was creative writing courses,
yes,
or something?
Yeah.
Ah, because as a journalist, you got the background and the creative writing and it fits together.
Yes.
Oh, very good. So your first book was called The Schoolgate Survival Guide. That the title of these books is really important, isn't it? Something that sort of grabs you, and that one does. That's a great title, that one.
Oh, thank you. Yes, obviously I live in Surrey, and when my kids went to school, I started to see all manner of strange behaviour at the school gates. I mean, I wouldn't say that anything in the book is I've actually seen in real life, but things quite close to it. And I'm very interested. I actually self-published that book initially, and it was called The Class Ceiling. And one of the things that really fascinates me, having lived in Italy, where people don't pigeonhole you so much by social class, their snobbery tends to revolve around which part of Italy you're from and your job title. So there's a lot of, you know, this is doctor so-and-so and this is lawyer so-and-so. But
yeah.
When I came back to Britain after 5 years, I just felt that everything you say, and we're probably not even aware of it, is filtered in some way to pigeonhole you into a social hierarchy. So if you say sitting room, lounge, living room, front room, sofa, settee, couch, people are adjusting their little view. We're not aware of it.
It all gives us away, doesn't it?
Yeah. So initially that book was called The Class Ceiling, and I really wanted to look at social class, but I was looking for an environment where there could be plenty of conflict, which is always the basis of any novel, and the school seemed like a good setting for it.
Very good. Now, your second book was called, well, it's called The Island Escape.
Yeah.
Now, I found an interesting fact here, which I absolutely love, which is... it came out in May 2015, and you won first prize at the York Festival of Writing for the opening line. So it's a brilliant opening line. Quote, I was wearing the wrong bra for sitting in a police cell. Where did that come from? Did it sort of suddenly happen as an image or what?
You know, a lot of these things, I mean, the opening line is always critical to a novel because lots of people will pick up a book and they might only read your opening line, so it needs to be a goodie. That line actually came from overhearing somebody on a train talking about a friend of theirs who wouldn't put on whatever they gave her to wear at the police station, so she sat there in her bra, and it came to me like that, and I thought, that's an excellent story. So you have to be very careful about what you talk about on trains, because I am always listening.
Well, you've got to get your inspiration from somewhere, haven't you? I mean,
indeed.
Why not? And that second book, I mean, that second book was just a runaway bestseller, wasn't it? You reached number 2 on the Amazon bestseller charts. That must be so gratifying, so rewarding after all the effort you put in.
It is, and actually it's astonishing as well, because you always hope, all authors dream of doing really, really well and getting to the top of the Kindle charts. I was really unlucky that Grey by Ella James was at number one, so who knows whether I'd got to number one. It would have been fantastic if I had, but it was absolutely brilliant. I felt completely joyous.
That's wonderful. Pipped to the post by a pile of rubbish, to be honest, 50 cents ago, but then I suppose that's a bloke's view on the book, isn't it?
Oh, well, you see, so now I'm an author, and I know how hard it is to write any book. I never, ever talk about books as a pile of rubbish, because I know how difficult it is.
Okie dokie. And what is it? You sold 100,000 copies of that book. That is amazing. Well done. Incredibly well done.
Thank you.
Now, the third book, which is just out now, isn't it? Just released?
Yes, After the Lie.
After the Lie. I think that's another really good title again, because it sort of pulls you in. What is this lie? What's going on here? And I must admit, I'm only partway through the book.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it a lot, but I'm only partway through the book. And the early stage is talking about the little girl and her life and a relationship with her mother. And sort of, I could understand quite a lot of it, because it applies to girls and boys. Then it moves on to her arguments about miniskirts and things like this. And I'm thinking, I'm in a totally different world here. Don't get this. But the book carries on, and then it switches to the adult version of Lydia and her life. Well, let me read you a little bit the synopsis. So, After the Lie by Kerry Fisher. A perfect wife, a perfect life, a dangerous secret. Lydia has the right kind of friends, her children are at the right kind of school, and she's married to the right sort of man, kind, steady, reliable Mark. Her wedding business is flourishing, and even though she's at loggerheads with her mother, she couldn't ask for any more from life. But the truth is, Lydia has been lucky. She's been living a life for years, and Mark has no idea who he's really married to. But nothing lasts forever, and the past has a funny way of catching up with the present. When the person who knows all of Lydia's dark little secrets turns up at the school gates, his presence threatens to blow Lydia's life apart. What is Lydia's terrible secret? Once it's out, it can't be put back. That's really good, and it is gripping as you're reading this. What is this lie they're talking about? What's going on here?
Well, actually, it's a novel of its time, so it's set in the 80s, which to me doesn't seem so incredibly long ago.
Nope.
It doesn't seem very long since
not.
I was at the rugby club dancing to Wham and Cool and the Gang. I wanted, really, the lie itself is actually not very big. It's how the mistake gets treated by the family that turns it into a huge deal. And I don't think that would happen today. I think because of the 30 years that we've had of technology, I mean, my children do all sorts of things that I barely bat an eyelid at, which my parents' generation would have been completely horrified. Mm. And I think we've almost become quite immune to behaviour, unless it's really, really terrible, because we've seen so much on the internet and everything has become very normal to us. Whereas what Lydia actually does isn't a really big deal, but it's her parents' reaction to it that make it huge.
And it's her mother's reaction, isn't it? It's the book's about the mother and daughter relationship very much. Mm. So that's what really interests you the most?
It does interest me. I mean, I've been incredibly lucky because my mum's absolutely lovely. But I do see amongst my peers that there are lots of people, in their late 40s, early 50s, who are still trying to get their parents' approval for whatever reason, and not necessarily like Lydia, because they've done something wrong. They are just endlessly trying to please them. And the truth is, there are certain parents you're never going to please. And I think one of the things I absolutely enjoyed writing was this very dysfunctional relationship between mother and daughter. But there's this sense all the way through the book that eventually the worm is going to turn, and it won't be pretty, but it will be enjoyable. And that's, I really enjoyed writing that relationship.
Hmm. So the mother in the book is not your mum?
No, not at all.
How much of you is Lydia?
Lydia is much better at holding her tongue than I am. And also, one of the things that I really enjoyed writing was a family where there was a sense of, we won't be discussing that business ever again. I grew up in an incredibly open family. I can't think that there's a single thing about me that somebody doesn't know. And sometimes it's just it's actually easier to write something completely different from your own experience than to try and fictionalise real life. Because when you try to fictionalise real life, you're constrained by the reality of it. So you're always writing it as it is, not in a way that's actually interesting or that serves the story. So it's often easier to choose something that's completely different. So I wanted to write about this family where they never discussed this terrible thing that had happened in the past, where every time Lydia tried to broach it, her mum would say, "No, well, you know, we don't need to talk about that. You know, we've all moved on, haven't we, darling? You've done quite well, considering." And that's her attitude to it all.
The way you said that brought to mind Mrs. Bouquet off the TV.
Yeah, she is a bit Mrs. Bouquet, yeah.
Well, how does it start for you, say, the idea for this book? Did it come as sentences or as an image or what? What happened?
That's a really good question, actually. My two first books literally came... I knew exactly what I wanted to write about. And this is, in some ways, it's quite frightening as an author, because you're right, okay, I've got these really two good ideas, I can write a book about those, not too difficult. But then, I don't appear to have any more ideas. And so that idea I did have to search around for, and I look on Mumsnet forums and actually secret websites on the web where, to see what people are talking about, what they're worried about. And then eventually, one of the themes that was running through a lot of the websites and blogs that I read was how worried we are about our teenagers, you know, and how grateful people of my generation are to have grown up in a time where our misspent youth wasn't plastered over the internet.
All over the social media.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, thank goodness, really, is all I can say. And I look at, you know, I'm endlessly saying to my teens, you know, don't put stupid pictures up. You know, don't send stupid pictures. I mean, the biggest horror, I've got a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, is, you know, the idea that they'll get in the car one day and go, "Ah, mum, you know. Well, the thing was, I took a photo," you know. I mean, honestly, I think it's every parent's nightmare. And I wanted to deal with that, but... you know, in a contemporary and also in an age-old way.
Got it. Well, it's been fun chatting with you. Now, I highly recommend your book, After the Life, by Kerry Fisher, and she has a wicked sense of humour.
Thank you very much.
It really comes through in the book. They're great fun. Now, if people want to contact you, what's the best way to do that?
Right, I have an author website, which is kerryfisherauthor.com. So you can contact me through that. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. Won't be too difficult to find me. I have an author page, Kerry Fisher Author, on Facebook.
And on Amazon.
Yes, and on Amazon. And please do come and chat to me. I absolutely love to hear from readers. It's brilliant. It's what keeps me going.
And all the books are available on Amazon, and the Kindle prices are extremely competitive. So
they are at the moment, yes.
Oh, that's in temporary, is it?
Yes. Right. Yes.
So there's no reason not to read After the Lie by Kerry Fisher. Thank you very much, Kerry.
Thank you very much indeed for having me. Brooklyn's Radio.